Please have a seat. Try and stand on different sides. Good morning and welcome to this time of worship. We're glad to have you with us this morning. If you are visiting, a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad you have chosen to worship with us today at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. I'm Reverend Michael Mugford, and I have the honor of being in ministry here at this place. If you are visiting with us, please do let us know you have been here. We have a guest book just outside the doors of the sanctuary, and join us for a time of coffee and fellowship in the hall following. When you go out the doors here, turn to your left, just keep going straight, and join us for some great coffee and conversation with the folks in the church. If at the offering time of the service you would like to leave an offering, and we don't ask our visitors to do that, but if you would so like, we invite you to use one of the visitor envelopes in the pews, fill it out with your name and address, and we'd love to send you a little note saying, thanks for worshiping with us. We're really pleased you were here. And if you think Cole Harbor Woodside might be the place where you would like to live out your spiritual journey at this point in your lives, come and see me. I'd love to have some conversation about the wonderful ministries that happen here at Cole Harbor Woodside. So as we gather on this second Sunday in Lent, we gather on this place, in this place and on this land, with an acknowledgement of the land in which we gather. And so it is responsive in nature. We gather in this place with gratitude, acknowledging that we live and worship on lands that are, by law, the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq.
May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with this people.
This morning we light a candle in honor of the victims of the terror attack in Christchurch, New Zealand, this weekend. May their families find comfort, and may our prayers for God's peace be found in us and in the world. Our Lenten Liturgy. Holy and gracious God, we've set out on a journey.
And we don't know where we're going.
But we've set out anyway.
Into the wilderness, the desert spaces.
May we find you.
In unexpected places, in the gaze of fellow pilgrims, beneath upturned stones, among the roots of desert plants, and in the inner light that we never knew was there.
May Christ's light guide us on our journey. Cameron and Maddox are going to share our call to worship this morning.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks for the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Let us pray together. O inclusive spirit of life, we meet you in many forms and in many people, from the youngest to the eldest in our midst, all bear your image. The gospel that Jesus shared tells us that your realm turns our world on our head. The last are first, and the first
are last. Yet all are called to worship.
If you woke early or slept late, if you come often or come when life permits, if you are sure or have questions, all are called to be one in your love. There is room for each of us in God's kingdom. There is always enough grace to go around. Your way is new life that leads through death to resurrection. Meet us in this place. We will learn to live foolish wisdom and vulnerable power. With joy, we receive it fully, and with courage, we live it foolishly. Through Jesus, who is Christ, wisdom, and word, may it be so. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning, 127 in more voices, I Saw the Rich Ones. Share the scriptures with us this morning.
The first reading is from Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 PM came, and each received a denarius. So when those who came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm being generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Thank you, Emery. I invite the children who are here this morning to join me at the front. I'm going to gather right here at the communion table to start with. Over here, come on back. See, I changed it up. Come on back over here first, and then we'll go over there. So, last week, we brought out our first Lenten rock, and it says what? Journey. And we talked about going on a trip. We're on a trip or a journey through Lent. And so today, this is the rock we're going to be placing. Can someone read that word? Reflection. So in the bulletins this morning, we're going to place that there. There's a piece of paper. It's the Lenten Challenge. And so everyone is invited to take that home along with last week's and think about the word reflection. And there's a little challenge for you if you choose to take that up. And there's a couple of suggestions that you can take. Pause at each meal and give thanks to God for being present. And there's even a little grace on the other side. Or you might just say a grace as a family. So anyway, so that's there, a little challenge for us to take. And for the children, there are puzzle pieces. Thank you, Kelly. Puzzle pieces that will make the shape of a cross over the course of Lent. So that's something else you can do together as a family. And they're just out on the entry table. If you didn't get the form last week, you can pick one of those up, and you can pick up last week's word as well as this week's word, so everybody gets a chance to participate. So reflection. So what is a reflection? Do you know what a reflection is? What's a reflection? See yourself in something. That's perfect. A reflection is something that we can see. So where might you see a reflection? In the mirror? Where else? In a window? In the ocean? Looking at the water, yeah? In the shadow. Oh, that's really good, yeah. Where else might you see a reflection? In water? Yeah. All kinds of places we can see reflections. In glass, yeah. Well, and reflections, in the other sense of the word, are times to think. So if we spend time thinking about something, sometimes we say we're reflecting on it. Or in the service, when it comes to the time after you're at the church programming, it says in the sermon, reflection or sermon. So I offer a reflection, something for us to think about in the time when you're at church, at the church programming. So I have a mirror here. And this is a very, very special mirror. I have had it for many, 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 many years. And this is a special mirror in that it lets someone look at it and see God. Do you believe me? Yeah? Okay, so one at a time, don't say anything. I want each one of you to come over here and have a look in this special mirror. I'm going to line up, single file. There we go. Everybody line up, and I'm going to sit down over here, and you're going to come on this side and have a seat one at a time. Wait, not yet. Stay in line. Each one of you will come up, and I'm going to show you a reflection of God. Now, don't say anything when I show it to you, okay? Whoa. Mind blown. Okay, you're next. You can, right? So when you look in here, you're going to see what God looks like. Yeah? Okay, who's next? When you look in here, you're going to see what God looks like. Who's next? You're next. This is what God looks like. This is what God looks like. Okay, who's next? You come over here. Come on over. Which side? So this is what God looks like. Yeah. Okay, don't say anything. Who didn't go yet? Who hasn't had a turn? You haven't had a turn? Come on up. Come on up. You can come too. Come over here. There we go. Ready? Look at this. This is what God looks like. Come here. This is what God looks like. Who hasn't had a turn? Come on up. You haven't had a turn. This is what God looks like. It's true. Who's next? This is what God looks like. All right. Everybody come up here with me. Right up here. Ready? Everybody come on in everywhere. Everyone can see. I'm going to hold it up. And everyone, this is what God looks like. Do you see God in that? Yeah, I do. I see God there and there and there. And that's what God looks like. That's because each and every one of us reflects God. And if we reflect God, God must look like us, like each and every one of you. So when we go out into the world, we need to reflect God. God's love, God's care, God's joy, God's happiness, and we need to reflect that in the world, just like each and every one of us, and just like each and every one of you. Amen? Amen. So let's have a little prayer together. Let's say, thank you, God, that you are reflected in me. Help me to show you to the world.
Help me to show you to the world.
Amen. And we're going to sing, I Can Feel You Near Me, God. Number 48 in more voices. Let's come on down here. It is time for church programming for you. McGuire and Charles and Greg. Beautiful. Wonderful ministry. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. Holy One, in whom we live and move and have our being, may our hearts be joined together today in this time of reflection. May our spirit speak through these words. In Christ, amen. Several of the Facebook groups that I belong to, clergy-centered ones, the comments were rewriting my sermon tonight. Rewriting my sermon tonight. And I echoed, me too. On the second Sunday of Lent, the challenge word I'm inviting us to think about is reflection. And this weekend, as we began to understand the events that unfolded in Christ Church New Zealand, has called upon us to spend more time in reflection. Sisters and brothers, as clergy, trying to figure out how do we take the writings that are offered to us, either through the Revised Common Lectionary or through the Narrative Lectionary, as we have here at Cole Harbour Woodside, and make sense of it. And how do you make sense of something that doesn't make sense in the world around us? We need to spend some time reflecting on us as people of faith, on ourselves, part of the family of the Abrahamic traditions of our world. And we need to figure out who we are as human beings sharing this planet together. We need to do a lot better work than what we're doing now. I'm sure that all of us together and individually were horrified that sisters and brothers in faith should suffer such a terrorist attack, and I call it a terrorist attack. It was no less a terrorist attack than any other we have seen. It just happened to be perpetrated by a white male, and we can be terrorists. And they were at prayer, just as we are here this morning. How frightening is that? How many churches will want to lock their doors as we gather? How many synagogues? How many mosques? How many other places of prayer will need to feel the charge to need to do that? To hire armed guards to stand out front? There has been an amazing outpouring of care and support. But even in the face of such prayer and support, we have to call for an end to the hyperbole that adds to the acts of terror in our world. We have to have a greater concern to hold those who perpetrate such things, such anti-Islamic views of the world, to account. And we have to hold ourselves to account as well. We must reflect on what it is we do in our world and how we interact. We must ensure that we recognize that this will not be an isolated event, and that those who hold those views will now be emboldened to do more. And unless we are emboldened to stand, the violence continues. How can we spend time in reflection in Lent on the ways of Jesus and his vision of God's realm and the way it's being revealed in our very midst, in that contradiction, in the midst of hate and violence we see around us? We need to spend time in deep reflection on what we are doing and what we are saying, how we are living. We must more deeply reflect on the ways in which we will counter this with love, with peace, with humanity. What else can we do? We offer prayers and wishes for sure. As people of faith, prayer is an incredibly important, powerful thing to us. It is not just something that politicians can roll off of their tongues, leaders can roll off of their tongues. For us, it is ingrained in who we are as individuals. But we also need to stand and speak. Speak against lies told by Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, homophobic, xenophobic, misogynist people. We must stand and speak those truths to the commonality of all human beings. A commonality and a truth that Christianity can speak. We must be brave to stand up and publicly say God, as the creator of all, loves all. And publicly say that, so do we. And that message inverts the messages of those who would say God loves us and not them. We are welcome, they are not. And that, my friends, is what Jesus did time and time and time again. He reminded people that the realm of God looks like the opposite of what we see in the world around us. And sometimes he used parables. Parable is a story that helps to illuminate the ways of God. The ways of God in our world. And they are, according to Amy Jill Levine, a theologian, the most powerful words of Jesus recorded. Now, over the years, we've tended to want to explain the parable and give it the definite meaning. But the power of the parable is that it has no particular meaning, and that we are challenged to find our way into the parable. We want it to be about a simple story that we can tell time and time again. So traditionally, this parable this morning has been read as God as the owner of the vineyards, and we're the workers, and who are hired throughout the day, and God in generosity pays all the people the same, regardless of the time they're working in the vineyard. It becomes an allegory of God and God's grace given equally to all. And there's nothing wrong with that interpretation. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but there has got to be more that will lead us in times such as today. What will we say when we mean the last are first and the first are last? How will we live that great equalization of God's realm here on this earth as we have our time together? There is a recognition of desire, of the desire for people to ensure that we get our fair share. We get what we deserve. And in Western culture, we not only want what we deserve, but we want more in reality. That's the way we have built our society. The arguments of the workers hired in the morning is that because they have worked longer, they deserve a greater stake in the vineyard. In spite of the fact that at the beginning of the parable, Jesus tells the vineyard owner, says, come and work for me and I will pay you a day's wages. Today it said denarius. A denarius was a day's wage. I will pay you a day's wage. And he makes the same deal with every one of the people who come, regardless of the time when they are hired. And the early workers felt that because they had worked harder and longer, we have borne the heat of the sun, they were entitled to more. There's an unstated fear that should the owner of the vineyard in the parable be fair to all, it automatically means that he's unfair to some. We talked about that Tuesday morning in Bible study because this seemed like a really unfair parable. It doesn't seem fair in our North American way of thinking that says, well, you worked all day and you worked an hour, but we got the same amount of money, a day's wages. There is an unfairness to that, it seems. And this is the very same argument offered as to why transgender, homosexual, non-binary people, women, people of color, etc., can't be given full rights in our society, because it's unfair to all those who have been here all along, mainly white heterosexual males. Interestingly, the terrorists who attacked the mosque in Trife's church believed that too many Muslims had been allowed into New Zealand and thus were impinging on the rights of others, mainly ones like him. In the realm of God, we must stand up and say that all will be treated equitably. All will share equally. All will gain a day's wage each day. All can ask for tomorrow's bread today. We are called to be heralds of God's realm. As we journey through Lent, we need not only be reflecting on what that looks like, we need also to reflect that model into the world. When the world looks at Cole Harbour Woodside United Church, they need to see an example of the realm of God and how it is lived out. They need to see that in us as individuals. They need to see that in us as a community. Each time, and invariably there will be more, each time events like Al-Noor in Christchurch, the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, First Baptist Church in Texas, Islamic Community Center in St. Foy, Quebec, each time one of those happens, we must be like the owners of the vineyard and stand with those who come early and those who come late and say, your portion is the same, for we are all part of the human family. Christ calls us to God's realm not to control, but to reflect. To reflect on the traits of generosity, justice, and equity. Christ calls us to God's realm, to stand with the victims of hate and oppression and violence, to call out evil wherever and whenever it occurs. May it be so. The life and work of our community. Are there announcements that need to be shared this morning?
Good. Good morning. After church today, there is a congregational meeting to attend to the matter of the budget. So that's right after church today. Thanks.
We need as many of you to stay as is possible to make sure we have quorum. It should only be brief, I'm hoping. The only thing we'll talk about, just the budget.
For those of us with school-age children, now is probably about the time where you start thinking about what to do about summer and summer break. And Kelly's produced a pamphlet that's out on the narthex, and it highlights all the wonderful programs offered by the United Church here in Nova Scotia. So feel free to pick up a copy as you leave today when you start to begin to plan your kids' summer vacations. And it includes, I should mention, it includes a programs for all ages, school ages. And one more thing. 2 weeks from now, on Saturday, March 30th, we'll be having our next Families Connect event. It'll be a melted crayon craft for Easter, so it should be a lot of fun. So we'd love to see as many of you out there. Saturday, March 30th, 5:30. Thanks.
The Resource Center is looking for volunteers, part-time or full-time. People do go away on vacation. People are sick, and that means we're short-handed. So I see a lot of people out here just jumping to volunteer. We work on Monday nights from 7 to 8:30. I'm getting an echo, so I'll stand back a little bit. Yeah. And we work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 10 till 1. So if you're available, we'd love to have your help, because the last 2 weeks, people have been sick and they've been off on vacation, and it makes quite difficult. We need to be open those times. So think about it. And I'll meet you in the hall. Thank you.
Hello, all. On March 29th at 7:30, the Department of Music from the Fountain School of Performing Arts at Dalhousie University will be presenting their student chamber music concert. Should be a very enjoyable evening. There will be string quartets, vocal music, vocal chamber music, all kinds of stuff. Should be a very enjoyable evening. That's on March 29th at 7:30 here. Thank you.
Good morning. Sorry, were you going to talk?
I promised two jokes.
Oh, yes, you did. Okay, so the first one is compliments of Willie. I hope I get it right this time. Why did the chicken cross the road? Not in this case. to get his old age pension.
Don't get it.
Who said it? You will when you're 65. They laughed anyway. okay, knock, knock. Irish.
I
wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day.
obviously, we'll be out back for maple syrup. we got a lot of orders last week, and we're going to go take a visit on Friday with the couple that supplies the maple syrup. So we'll probably provide an update next Sunday.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Mike, I've got one from back here. Not to be confused with the congregational meeting that's happening after this service, there will be another congregational service in 2 weeks' time to review and possibly amend the JNAC so that we can proceed with looking for the part-time minister. This has to go forward so that we can make sure that we fulfill our obligations to Mike When we hired him, it was under the understanding that we would have a part-time minister. And we want to make sure that we fulfill this promise to him and keep going with our search. So we want to make a slight amendment so that we can broaden who we can look at. So 2 weeks' time from today.
A brief announcement from Paul, just saying thank you to those who have signed up to provide food for Hope Cottage. He's looking for 4 to 5 more people to drop meatballs or rice off to his place at Delta Drive before Tuesday evening, Tuesday, March the 19th. So if you're able to, please do that. one of the things that I'm going to be attending as part of my continuing education time in May is an event at the Tatamagush Center, and it is for men in the third age. And I had to go and ask, what on earth is the third age? The third age is 50 plus. I guess I'm now in the third age. Tamara says I often just act like I'm 3. So anyway, it's engaging men in the third age, talking about ways in which we can live our lives with intention, clarity, and integrity. And we do that in the company of other men. It's at the Tatamagush Center. Shared accommodations is $471. That's tuition, meals, and accommodations. There are bursaries available through the Tatamagush Center if any of the men are interested. I am going to go. We could share a room, share travel, or whatever. So if you would like to, I've got a poster, and if you're interested, come and see me in the next month or so. I think those are the announcements that I needed to share. A moment for mission and service.
Artistic hope and healing. Our gifts from ministries like Riverbend Integrated Community Ministries support programs of healing and reconciliation. The core of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan is home to many Indigenous people. Beyond the core are communities of non-Indigenous people. Each year, Riverbend holds a program called the 10x10 Project. This is an open project where people living in the core are invited to paint on a 10x10 canvas that will be displayed in an art show to all the communities in Saskatoon. Last year, 80 canvases were handed out and 73 were returned for the show. Minister and coordinator Jane Jupe says she has grown so much in her interactions with artists. I have come to realize how important it is in so many ways. It builds community between artists and helps people heal. Artist Candace Kaplan created a beautiful image from beads of an Indigenous girl without facial features. She explained the importance of sharing her story of sexual assault, saying that it happens to many young Indigenous girls. We are called to love our neighbors. Your gifts for mission and service offer moments of healing every day at Riverbend Integrated Community Ministry. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbors is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Susie. In that spirit, then, our gifts and our offerings are now received. us pray. As we have gathered these gifts forward, O God, may they also be shared forward. May the gifts that we bring in our offering plates, through par, through the work of our hands and the love that is in our hearts, all of these gifts are meant to bring your light and grace into small corners of our world, that they might be added with the multitude from around our world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us pray. Once again, O God, we have gathered in this place. It is a holy place for us. It is a place where we celebrate your presence in our midst, in our lives, and in our world. It is a place where we celebrate new beginnings and birth and the coming together of people in love and support of one another in marriage, the joining of people together in times of faith, when we gather around the table to share in that eternal meal with those here and those we wish who could be. We even gather for times of the celebration of life in the midst of grief. This is a holy place, not merely because it is named a church. It is a holy place because it is where your people gather, where you are in our midst, where we come together in heart and spirit and body. We don't always know how to express the words that are in our spirits. The Apostle Paul struggled in that same way, and he gave thanks to you that the Spirit intercedes for us with moans and groans too deep for words. And many times in our lives we feel that connection with our brother Paul. How do we make sense of the senseless? How do we turn tragedy into unity? How do we turn the tide of hate into a pool of love, camaraderie, support, and care? Challenges that have vexed us as human beings for so long. And yet in the end, we continue to come to holy places such as this, and mosques and synagogues and temples and mountaintops and deserts and seashores, quiet private rooms and large stadiums, to find ways to connect as human beings with you, creator of all, lover of all, enlivener of all, embracer of all. In our prayers this day, we honor those whose lives were taken from them most violently, not only in Christ Church, but in too many places around our world that don't ever make the news. They may not be known to us, but they are brothers and sisters just the same. We care and love for them as we care and love our brothers and sisters here, who have asked us to remember them in our prayers. Each time we open our bulletins, we see a list of those who have asked us to pray for them, not just here in this building, but when we go home in our daily living until we can be together again. This morning we honor those and we remember in prayer those who have asked us and named Carolyn and Joy and Beth and Heather and Gary and Gary and David and Della and Wayne and Hannah and Graham, Suzanne, Nancy, Eric and Reg, Carmen, Richard, Neil, Faith and Sean, Millie, Dorothy, Simon, Matilda. Those names listed here are those known to our hearts and yours. Hear our prayer, O God, for us and them and our world, as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of our lives.
A call from God to go into the world. 172 in More Voices.
Blessing in the world. God has called us to be that blessing. May we go from this time and this place into the world to be the light, the hope, the love, the joy, the peace that God calls us to be this day and always.